So I'll now hand you back to Alison, who's going to talk to us for about 7 minutes. I'm going to prompt her about five on service, and then we will go on to talking about the promises and realising the promises, more importantly. Thank you.
I'll start with the last paragraph of the promises. And that last paragraph is, are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for it. And I don't know what's happening on someone's screen, but somehow my screen is a bit different. I don't know if one of the people there we go. Thank you. It's kind of good to see how I'm coming across to you, because I can be quite expressive with facial expressions. So this last paragraph, the fact that the promises come about sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. So of course, and if I could see you all, I'd love you all to just be able to respond. The fact that they come around quickly and sometimes slowly is really a blessing. And I suppose the first one that came around really quickly for me was that first meeting that one of the attendants today talked about, the identification. That came about so quickly. It was such a relief to be in these rooms with all of you. I was not alone. So the opening line of the promises is, if we were painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we're halfway through. And if I was in a room with you, I'd be saying, please raise your hand if this is true for you. And we would look around, and pretty much everybody in the room could raise their hand, because even as we begin, we are starting to feel the promises, the fact that we belong, the fact that we know there's a solution, because I can look at you and you can tell me about how you've changed and what parts of your recovery are working, and I can know that these promises will come true. For me, it's really changed my perspective of being human. It's changed the incredible guilt and shame I had around my behavior with earning. My first sponsor, who I worked through the steps with, and then she went on to some other program. When I was doing my ninth step, and I had my husband down because I thought, well, I haven't really earned to my potential. And, that's caused him harm. And she asked me to go ask him, did I owe him an amends around my earning? And it was amazing. He basically, he didn't laugh because he knew I was very serious. You know, he's been with me we've been together for 31 years. And those 31 years, I've been working multiple 12-step programs. He just said, absolutely not. You don't owe me an amends around your behavior. So for me, one of the key people that I am just putting my timer on so I don't get so strangely off. Sorry, I have to reset starting. One of the key people on my amends list was myself, and I continue to make amends to myself by continuing to practice the steps, work with a UA sponsor, work with my action team, work with my sponsees, go to meetings, and do service. I continue to make an amends to myself. So the second line is, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And that is so true. I'm just not dominated. I was dominated by my underowning symptoms, absolutely dominated by them. It was just so immediate, you know, that compulsive need to prove. It was immediate. My negative reaction to people's situations and things. Today, I'm absolutely free. Pretty much, I'd have to say 96% of the time. To make a decent response. And when I'm troubled, when I'm in my disease, I can actually pretty immediately either say to myself, you know, ask higher power, ask consciousness to help me, or I can actually say to myself, what would an earner do? What would an earner do in this situation? And they would make the call. They'd make the call. They would act absolutely without any shame, ask for what they needed and what they wanted. My disease is so sneaky. You know, if I'm working with a colleague and they need some particular thing or da da da, I still take on the shame. I can still get into shame. Well, we can't ask that person that because that might cause them some, they might have to go look at some work. I mean, just, it's like, no, what would an owner do? They'd send the email, they'd make a call, they'd ask for what they need and what's necessary. So I'm not dominated by my disease. And this is an incredible miracle. We will not regret the past or wish to shut the door on it. I'm still working on, because of course the last section of the promises is that the promises happen sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. It's like our dear member who was talking about possession consciousness and or working the timesheets, you know, how does it happen? Well, it happens sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. And just because it doesn't happen quickly doesn't mean it's not going to happen or I'm not doing a good job with my program. And I'm still working on and working, or the better word for me might be practicing, not having regret. I do know, I do deeply know in my heart that I have created myself to be a very big person because the truth is I'm so absolutely effing terrified of being human. I find it so utterly terrifying. And I'm still working on that. I'm working on putting down this large person I've created so that I can actually join the human race and not keep people at a distance. I know that if I had been famous the way I wanted or what I thought I wanted, I'd be dead. I would be dead now. There's just, I just know that in my heart. And higher power's always given me, I've always had a very strong relationship with consciousness. So when I was really thinking I'd be famous and taking my clothing collection to New York and, you know, showing to Bloomingdale's and Saks and blah, 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 and Henri Bendel, what did higher power have me do? Had me meet one of the most famous people in that town. At a party, I spent a weekend with that person and got to hear about the gobs of hate mail and horrible things that took place for this person. I mean, I know I'd be dead. So higher power does for me what I can't do for myself. The next line says, we will comprehend the road to serenity and we will know peace. And the note I've put here says, my whip-bearing slave driver, shaming self, has faded. And I have to tell you, dears, that for me, and it's really only faded since COVID-19, it's been such a blessing. because the work was taken away from me. Having focused on earning. Really, since I was about four, I actually could talk my sisters, an older sister, into helping carry old ladies' bags home from the train station. I was a very precocious child. I was a big child, very active physically. You know, I had tons of older sibs, so nobody knew I was four. They had no idea. And we would carry women's bags home with shopping in them to try and earn money. And so to get rid of that whip bearing, you know, you don't want to do this job. Go and do it, you little sniveling shit. I mean, you know, as you all know, the self-talk is very painful. And these are sort of tears of gratitude, but also, you know, feeling that person that I was, that I can be to myself. So I'm still practicing to comprehend serenity around earning. And it's coming. It's coming through my working with my action team. And I'm very grateful because I believe it. Higher power will open a whole new chapter for me, a whole new chapter now that this whip-bearing slave driver is put to bed. So we, you know, no matter how down the scale we've gone, we'll see how our experience can benefit others. You know, the simple act of giving service to another suffering under-owner, leading a meeting, you know, staying after the meeting to chat with newcomers, all of these things benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. So I'm becoming right-sized. I'm able today to see what I do and what I have done really well. We will gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. So I keep coming back, and I have no doubt that I'll be coming back to this program probably till I die, because I'm such a believer in the 12th step, which is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We tried to carry this message to other suffering under owners and to practice these principles in all areas of our life. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. And as I said before, very quickly that happened at my first UA meeting, because I was with all of you and had people who fully understood me in this area of my life that totally dominated and was very painful. And the fear of economic insecurity is certainly has left me. I can say it's been very recent that's happened, because I have such a trust and my higher power. And I do intuitively know how to handle situations. I've spoken about that by tapping into higher power, asking for help, calling my sponsor, calling my team of buddies. And I do realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. So these are not extravagant promises in any way, shape, or form, and they are being fulfilled. And then I just want to take a quick moment to talk about service. Service is the only tool that is in every single 12-step recovery program. And service is the tool, because that's the tool where we get to see if we are walking our talk. I get to see whether you're walking your talk when we do service together. And for me, I've done a lot of service because I'm a doer, and because it really has catapulted my recovery in every program that I practice. UA is a young program, We need our members to do service. We need you all to step up at meetings, to be the newcomer greeter, to do the readings, to lead a meeting. We need you at the world service level. We need you on the board. We need you at intergroup. And it's just a wonderful way to practice that which you have gained and are learning with using the by doing the steps in UA, working with your sponsor, working with an action meeting. It's just a fantastic way to practice, and it will help you professionally as well as help you deeply spiritually with your program. And then I'll also just quickly close to say the meetings that I attend have always been focused on the conference approved literature of any program I'm in. I attended a 12 and 12 meeting, studying the 12 and 12 for years. And for the last, since 2015, I've been on a UA meeting that reads a paragraph per meeting of the first 164 pages of our big book, the current big book, because we haven't written our own. That's an area of service that we need. We need writers to help write our story. But I study the big book, and that has been truly and utterly a stunning thing to do. And that meeting is listed on the website. And if you don't have a meeting that studies the big book paragraph by paragraph, I hope that you'll start one in your town, in your city, wherever you are. And I'm really grateful for being here today. And thank you for listening. And I also should say, I don't have, the screen has also changed for me again. So I'm looking at someone else. So that's it, guys.